Morning, everybody. Morning, good morning. My name is Ben Strotman. For those who don't know me, I got the privilege of preaching the word to you this morning. The title of my message is At Just the Right Time. It's also the title of my Microsoft Word document. So as I was preparing for my message, every time I would save it, at the bottom it would say, Word is saving your document at just the right time. It's like, yeah, I thought that was a good time to save it. It's good. Let's jump right in here. So Luke chapter 2, we're actually going to jump in the middle of verse 10 here through 11. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. It's been a hard couple weeks here at ACC. There's some tough times ahead. Let's take some time this morning to remember the good news of our Savior. Heavenly Father, thank you for another year for us to remember the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Please use me this morning to bring this good news. Amen. It's Christmas week. I don't think I've ever been this excited about Christmas, seriously. It's the week we celebrate the birth of our Savior. It's the week we celebrate God becoming a man, the Lord Christ Jesus. It's the week we remember the faith of those who heard this message surrounding the story and responded to it. They did something. It's the week we see his miraculous birth, the time in history where he chose to come here. And most importantly, this is the week we celebrate the fact that Jesus came to seek and save the lost, the poor in spirit, the unrighteous. He came to save us all. And I think I've lost the excitement and the appreciation for all of that. I enjoy Christmas every year. I think we all do. I love giving gifts. I really like getting gifts. Like the friends, the family, the food, snows once in a while. Christmas, people just enjoy Christmas. But I don't get excited about the Christmas story anymore. It's just kind of another story. It's just another thing. It's like, yeah, Jesus died, the reason for the season. And it just doesn't seem that exciting anymore. And I realized this when I was digging through the passage, as I was reading and I was praying and I was picturing these scenes and these images, and it would make me laugh and it would make me cry and smile because I felt like I was looking at these things for the first time. Like, discovering these things like a child when they hear a story for the first time. My eyes are just wide open. And it's exciting. Thank you, Nick. Exactly like that face. That's good. And that was a convicting moment. I went from this extreme excitement to, wow, this is the first time I've really thought through this passage and thought, what did this actually look like? What did he go through? Why did he choose this time? Why did he do these things? So that's what we're going to do this morning. Verse 1 through 3, we're going to read it again. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. Caesar Augustus was the first Caesar and emperor of the Roman Empire. So this is a big deal. This is a huge moment in history. Up until this time, the word Caesar, emperor, these were revered names, holy names, almost godlike, which is fitting for somebody who's essentially becoming the god of the Roman Empire. So you have on this hand the birth of a god for the empire, and then we have here, conveniently, the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't show up at a random time. He didn't just roll the dice and say, okay, here we go. The world was literally hungry for a Savior. That's what they look at Caesar Augustus as, and Jesus was born at this time, at just the right time. Verses 4 through 7, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped them in cloths and placed them in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I have a confession to make. I just learned what a manger was. So I didn't show you these slides already, because I forgot to do that, so we're going to move to the actual slide. This is not a manger. This isn't even a manger. A manger is a long, open box or trough for horses or cattle to eat from. I thought that all was the manger. Just assumed it was a package deal. Like, there was no room in the inn. We went to a manger. This is just as likely what it could have looked like. These are some historical mangers. Our nativity scenes make Jesus look pretty cozy. A nice rocker, some overhead, some lights, a place for everyone to sit, place to put your coffee. But that just wasn't the case. And not only wasn't it cozy, there probably wasn't even a roof. Because when travelers came into town, if there wasn't room, there's a common courtyard. That's where the travelers are, tether their animals. So they might have just been out in the open. So cold, gross, uncomfortable, not ideal. Not ideal for somebody to be born, especially our Savior. Doesn't seem ideal. There might have been room in the inn the night before. There might have been room in the inn the next day. It might have been an hour ago. Last room was booked. But Joseph and Mary took too many pit stops. There was no room in the inn at this time. Jesus chose to be born on a night like this. Jesus chose to be born from commoners, from nobodies, to once again show that this good news is for all people. And when was the best time to do this? It was a night where the only way for Jesus to be born was in a trough, in a manger. Not what we would have picked. But for Jesus, it was just the right time, a part of the plan. Can we say that about our lives? Can we say that we trust the Lord's timing? Do we believe he actually has a plan? When my car breaks down, I just, that's bad timing. This stinks. When a loved one passes away, it never feels like good timing. It doesn't feel right. I don't know what everyone's going through in this room, what you're going through, what trials, what struggles, what everything that's going on, but I do know who is going through that with you. I know that God is not surprised by what's happening in our lives. God is faithful. God does love us, and he has a plan. You might be sitting there thinking, God has a plan? Do you know what's happening in my life right now? All the nonsense that is happening to me and my family? I can see those people over there maybe having to go through a tough time. I can see this guy. I mean, he has to learn a lesson, so he's going to have to go through those tough times. But me, I'm doing what I'm supposed to. I'm being obedient. I'm evangelizing. I'm doing all these awesome things. Why me? I just think back to Genesis. It's a great story. Joseph. Joseph got tossed around by his brothers, thrown in the pit, sold into slavery, went to prison for something he didn't do, stayed in prison because people forgot about him. So despite his continued obedience, he repeatedly faces challenges and hardships. From the outside would seem unfair, undeserving. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. You think Joseph ever was like, what's going on here? What are you doing, Lord? How could this possibly end up okay? And you know what Joseph says to his brothers after all the horrible things they did to him? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. God used Joseph to reach so many people, despite things looking hopeless, every step of the way. Joseph could have stopped at any point in his life and been like, what's going on? This isn't right. He probably had friends that's like, Joseph, what's going on? What's your God doing? Until he got all the way through it and he looks back and he's like, wow, what a plan. What a plan. I don't have the answers for everybody's situations, but I know we serve a God that has a plan for it all, and we're not going to see it. We might not see it today or tomorrow. It might be a year from now. It might be 10 years from now. We might not ever see what the Lord's truly doing with some of the things that come in our lives. But there's going to be a day where we get to look at his plan, the majesty of it all, the beauty of it all, and just be like, wow, you were doing that the whole time. That's why I went through that. That's why this person went through that. Do we trust that the Lord does things at just the right time? Verses 8 through 14. This is an actual photo. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." I don't get sick of reading that. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Here we see the scene of the shepherds watching over the flock, talking about the game the night before and looking into the night, when bam, an angel of the Lord is there, and they are scared, as any of us would be. And they get to hear the greatest news ever told. Good news for all people, for all of us. And the shepherds, this was even more amazing news. Shepherds were kind of, they were kind of low class. They were pretty far down there. They had the lepers beat as far as like how good things were, but not much higher than that. So for them to be told from an angel of the Lord, this good news is for all people, that's exciting. I can't imagine how excited they were. And as soon as their heart rate starts going down and they're like, okay, we can handle this, boom, the whole sky fills with angels. They all just fell to the ground, their hats fell off, and glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. What a scene. So how do they respond to this? Verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So how do they respond? They look at each other. Let's go. Let's go. Do we have this let's go attitude, this kind of faith? And we see it. We've seen it a lot already. Luke chapter 1, Gabriel delivers the news to Mary that she's going to give birth to a Savior. She's like, "But I'm a virgin." Angel's like, "The Holy Spirit's going to help you." "Okay, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Joseph, same thing. Angel delivers message to Joseph. "Take your Mary as your wife. She will give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Joseph wakes up, and he does what the Lord commanded. Same thing with the shepherds now. They hear and they go. Simple as that. Yeah, I don't think I have this attitude with a lot of things the Lord's asking me to do. "Hey, Ben, why don't you spend a little more time with your neighbors? Show them love." It's like, well, whenever I get home from work, dinner's usually a little bit after that. I want to see the kids before, usually doing something cool when I first get home, and I want to see my wife, and I'll do it tomorrow. And then in the morning, well, we're all on different schedules. They go to work at 6, I go to work at 8, and it's just excuses that come up. "All right, Ben, go ahead and lead this Bible study or do this prayer meeting." Well, there's a lot of people who could do that. People better than me at it. Pretty much everybody. Why? They can probably do it. Really? That's going to be my attitude when I get asked to do something from the God of this universe? Just all the reasons why I can't do it? When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. They heard, they saw Jesus, and they went and told everybody. This is the wholehearted response we need when the Lord calls us to something. He doesn't want us to just dip our toes in the water, peek over the edge and see, I don't know if I want to go in or not. He's calling us to jump in. Let's keep going. Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. When I read this verse, I can't help but think of Mary, Did You Know, the popular Christmas song. I thought about doing a solo for everybody, but I'm just going to read the lyrics. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? One of my favorite parts, when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know? Now, Mary might not have known the full extent of all these things that were going to happen. She might not have known all these specific miracles that would happen or everything leading up to his death. But you better believe she knew she was holding baby Jesus, the prophesied Savior of the world. Because when the angel Gabriel told her this was going to happen, she didn't say, oh, really? Or, I don't know, it sounds a little, she just said, okay, but I'm a virgin. Basically, how are we going to do this? She knew. And the Lord would keep revealing those things throughout her life. She had a front row seat to the life of Jesus. And she was there when he died. Can you imagine? Mothers, can you remember the first time you held your child? What an amazing feeling. Not a mother, but as a father, I treasure this moment. Appreciate this moment. You look at the baby together and you're like, we did this. We did this. Mary's holding baby Jesus. She's like, I didn't do anything. But this is the most amazing moment of my entire life. She's holding baby Jesus. And you know what she did? She treasured these things in her heart. She just held them and smiled, considering the things she had been told. We may not be able to hold baby Jesus, but we can still treasure these things in our heart. When's the last time I've stopped my busy schedule and just sat there and been like, wow, what a Savior. What a Savior that came down and died for me. He loves me. And when we do that, it produces some things. We see that in verse 17 and verse 20. Verse 17, they go and tell people. They see it, they think about it, and boom, they go. Verse 20, they praise him, they glorify him. But we don't get there without considering these things, without thinking of these things. You don't get excited about a football team unless you think about it, unless you watch them. It just doesn't happen. When's the last time we've treasured our Lord? So yeah, I think Mary knew. I think Joseph knew. Shepherds clearly knew. I know many of us here this morning know. But do you know? I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Everyone in this room, he doesn't care about your past, your status, your background, if you're rich, if you're poor, if you're black, you're white, you're orange, you're blue. He doesn't care. This good news is for all people. So what's this good news? Savior has been born. And he is Christ the Lord. This same Jesus grew up and lived a perfect life. And then he went to the cross and he died a gruesome death for you and rose again 3 days later. He did all of that to pay the penalty for all the wrong things we have ever done. He sacrificed himself for each of us because we can't do it on our own. And all we have to do is believe that, accept that gift, that good news. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We get to be with him forever. It's Christmas week. This is the week we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us never become numb to this truth, and let's not wait until this time of year to remember these things. Let's dwell on them. Let's treasure them. At just the right time, our Savior was born. At just the right time, our Savior died for each and every one of us. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. I wanted to end a few minutes early this morning. The past couple weeks have been hard. And rightfully so, we've spent extra time talking through these things and going through this. So I wanted us to take some extra time this morning considering this good news. This good news that happened on a day just like today. The day Jesus, our Savior, was born to seek and save the lost. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving a person like me. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for us and take the penalty of our sins. Please guide our worship this morning to glorify and bring praise to your name. Amen.